Tell me the stories of Jesus. We sang that first. Did you hear that? And we're going to sing, Come Thou Almighty King, the last hymn. And I picked those specifically because, listen to it, tell me the stories of Jesus. Image Jesus as we hear this. Let me hear how the children stood around his knee. Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a brand of the palm tree. Isn't it lovely? You can almost see him carrying a lamb. You can see the gentle shepherd and the children. You can feel who Jesus was, can't you? We're going to sing, Come Thou Almighty King. The lyrics are a little different. Come Thou Almighty King, gird on thy mighty sword. Thy sovereign majesty may we in glory see. Seems like a different person. It isn't. It isn't. And part of this is people trying to write lyrics to remember, to reflect on all that the Lord is. But maybe it's something else, too. The good Reverend Ron Hodges, a protege of mine, a wise-minded retiree in our conference, says we're moving on to perfection. Are we moving on to perfection? Yes. Wasn't good enough. Are we moving on to perfection? Yes. Amen. We are moving on to perfection. Amen. Yes. Some of us are moving slowly in that direction. There are days I get to the ice and slip and slide and think I don't know if I'm going forward or back. But there is a change in some ways as we perceive Jesus as well, the gentle Savior, the shepherd of the Lamb, the Almighty King. All are true and all reflect Jesus. And today we turn to the transfiguration scene. Paya, do we have the other slide, please? I don't know how well you can see this, but it's from Cameroon. You know Cameroon, Africa. There's Jesus and Moses and Elijah. See them in the middle there? And there's Simon and James and John. We need to keep in mind that Jesus is Jesus of all the world, of all peoples everywhere. And this image stopped me a little bit as I was looking for something to put on the front of the bulletin. On the front of the bulletin, you have that beautiful stained glass and the reflection of Jesus in that way. But we need to recognize Jesus of all people. Thank you, Pyre. You can go. Yeah, you went back to... No. Yeah, there we go. She's already on the... Sometimes the most important thing I do in ministry is let Paya take over. She does well. Thank you, Paya. Thank you, thank you. This first scripture that James read, did you listen to that? The Exodus passage? Here was Moses. You remember what's going on? Moses, and he's going to go up onto the mountain. He's going to meet with God. And he's going to get the Ten Commandments, the Sinai Covenant, the Decalogue. And he's going to bring them down as the guiding laws for God's people. Now, we didn't read it, but this is Exodus 34. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all of the Israelites saw Moses, the skin on his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. Moses put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with the Lord, he would take the veil off until he came out. So Moses goes on the mountain, and he is transformed, transfigured, changed. His face glows, and the people see it, and they're afraid. I think we all have a piece of us that when we are presented with a part of the holy, there's a little of apprehension because, at least for me, because I am not perfect. Some of you may be perfect and blameless. God grant that it be so, but if you are like me, is there a bit of apprehension? Have we done all we could? Have we met all of the ways to love that you've taught us? So Moses, his face is transfigured. And then in the New Testament, we read, up a high mountain, by themselves, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. But not only his face, his clothes became dazzling white. So this is the great Moses, the Moses of the law, the Moses of the hero of the Hebrew people, the great and wise leader of Moses, transfigured. And Jesus now transfigured as well, if not more. Simon Peter is impressed. I think we all would be. We are there. We see Jesus and with him Elijah and Moses. Oh my goodness. You know, Elijah was the great prophet. Elijah was the one that pulled a Dorothy Gale. He got caught up in a whirlwind. He never died, and he will return, and he is the great prophet that speaks of God. He is one of the two great leaders of the Hebrew nation. They are a representation of the laws in Moses, and Elijah, the representation of the prophets. These are the guidance. These are the principles by which the people live. Simon Peter sees this and says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. It is an impressive gathering. Peter doesn't quite understand all of what's going on because he wants to make three equal booths, three dwelling places, three tents, and honor all three of them as equals. But there is something that happens here that is even more important. A voice comes out of the cloud. Isn't that what you said, James? A voice came out of the cloud and it said, this is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Does anybody doubt that that voice in the cloud? Does anybody not understand? Does anybody think that could be anybody but God Almighty himself? The voice of God speaking down and naming Jesus as the beloved son. And not only that, but making a determination and teaching us and instructing us. Listen to him. I don't know how many times in I have read that scripture and read that passage, and it just seems like a simple statement. Yeah. Pay attention to what he has to tell you. It is more than that, and we need to pause and reflect on that. You see, the guidance for how to be in the world for Hebrews up until this point in time were the law and the prophets. And you'll hear Jesus, when he is questioned, when he is tried by other people, tested, they'll say, should we do this or should we do that? And what does he respond? What does it say in the law and the prophets? What do our holy scriptures and these leading principles tell us? And sometimes we need to understand that there may be conflict. You have heard it say, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'm afraid I'm seeing that all too often in our society. Someone who has injured someone else and the family wants their pound of flesh. They want some sort of vengeance. It's tragic because the Lord says, vengeance is mine and mine alone. And we get caught up in hearing that. But people lock into that. They've heard it and it seems to fit. Someone hits me, I'm going to hit them back. And that should be okay. And then Jesus comes and he says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, turn the other cheek. So which one are we supposed to follow? The law? The law that directs how courts should respond when people are injured? Or this guidance of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is helping us understand that we have the law and the prophets, and now we have Jesus, and we shall listen to him. Listen to him. Authority is placed on him. Authority is given to all that Jesus teaches. Authority to enact all of the laws and the prophets, to teach the people, to lead the people, and to find the true path. And where there is doubt, where there is challenge and differentiation, listen to Jesus. Listen to him. If we have been avid students of history and the texts and the laws, we should have nothing to do with Samaritans. Their evil have no dealings with Samaritans. And Samaritans can be any number of nations, depending upon which era of history we're in. Reject any worshipers coming into the temple, into the church. Anyone who is not perfect or has blemish should not be allowed into the presence of the sanctuary. Those are laws and rules from a previous set of laws in the Old Testament. The subordination of females. I won't go down that road very far, but we know it was a piece of what was taught and instilled. And when someone erred, take them unto the outskirts of the city and stone them to death, for they are an abomination. So those rules, those laws, they still sit there. And some people, trying to understand how to be in the world, they can grasp a hold of these because they're simple concepts taught to a simple people. But as we turn and become Christian, we are not merely simple. We are a bit more complex. Is it easy for us to understand that if someone strikes you on the cheek, that you turn the other cheek? That was one that our society still hasn't gotten hold of. We still don't have a good grasp on how that works or what that's about or how to be that sets of people. We are built to fight or flight animalistically. And yet here is a new directive on how to be. What was and was important and helped the people of God grow is changing with the Lord God Jesus Christ. We're no more about isolating ourselves and separating ourselves. Think about that. The Hebrew people, they did things, they ate differently. They wore different clothing. They only married within those within the family, within the clan, mutual believers. So the walls to separate them away from the world were quite high and quite strong, and it helped them survive in a period when they were scattered. During the diaspora, they were all over the Mediterranean in places far from home, but they were able to hold on to traditions that separated them away from the culture that they were in and helped them maintain their identity. But that time passed and those walls remained up, and Jesus had to begin to help take them down. He traveled to the people of Samaria. He interacted with them. He interacted with people that were unclean, that were outcasts, that were not allowed. So that isolation changes and becomes, go into the world and make disciples of all people and love one another. The humanity has grown. There has been a transformation out of that transfiguration. That transfiguration showing Jesus as the one who shall be listened to above all else. Listen to him. There's Moses. There's Elijah. Rules to live. Ways to be faithful people. But always through the lens of Jesus Christ and his words of grace and compassion. Amen? Amen.